Turn with me to Exodus chapter 29. This is our third week into this chapter, and it's a pretty lengthy chapter, and so far we have made it on only up to verse 14. But I hope that whatever we have looked at so far has some meaning to you guys. You know, as we have looked at the washing and the baptism and so forth, and how it relates to our new covenant and how we understand those things in our New Testament time. Once again, I want to remind you that the purpose of all of these things that we are looking at here in Exodus chapter 29 is what was mentioned in chapter 28 and verse 41. It is to anoint, it is to consecrate, and it is to sanctify. This is the purpose of what we are seeing here. And so, as I mentioned before, we started off the chapter with worship. How are you to come? Before the priest could enter into the tabernacle and perform the priestly duties that were required of him, they first needed to be anointed. They needed to be consecrated. Now, once again, the word consecrate means to set apart, to separate. Word sanctify pretty much means the same thing, where we are being set apart, made holy. So there is this this message throughout the scripture about this, that once we come to Christ, once we come to God, we are to separate ourselves. And when I say separate, doesn't mean isolation. I hope you guys understand that. It doesn't mean isolation. That doesn't mean we don't go to work where there are only, you know, there are no believers. Or we only gather and we only do business where there are believers. It's not talking about Christian being isolated. Because if we were isolated, then the Great Commission that we are given in the gospel by Jesus doesn't make sense. Because it says, go out into the world and make disciples. So I hope you understand what this consecration, separation means for us. That we are to be set apart. You know, when we are introduced into a situation, when we are present in a place, people can tell us apart. That this person or, this set of people or he or she are different than the rest of us. Their priorities are different. How they approach things in life are different. How they deal with death is different. How they deal with finances, how their marriages look. All of those things, should give a witness to others about our faith and who we believe in. So that's what we are looking at here. So, there was the washing. There was the cleansing, which spoke of our baptism. And then last time, as we looked at verses 10 to 14, we saw the sacrifice of the bull. That's what we were, and what we see, what we saw in that is the substitute for a priest, a substitutionary sacrifice. And now, as we come to verse 15 through 18, we see a sacrifice of the ram. This is the ram of a burnt offering. Once again, let me remind you, as we started out this chapter, there was the bull and two rams. When we go into Leviticus chapter 8, it tells us what these things are. The bull was a sin sacrifice. The first ram that we are going to look at today, hopefully we're going to finish the chapter today, but the first ram that we are going to look at, this is the ram of burnt offering. Okay? And it reminds us that even the priest who served as the representative of Israel needed God's mercy. That they needed to plead for God's mercy, ask for God's mercy. They are not perfect being. So this is a burnt offering compared to the bull, which was the sin offering. Now, even before I get into this, you're going to see a lot of similarities between what happened, what we learned last time with the bull sacrifice and what happens with the ram sacrifice. In both cases, you will see that they will put their hand on the head of the animal. And then the same instruction comes. And you might have a question, why do we have to go through this all over again? And that's why already a couple of times I have mentioned to you that bulls is a sin sacrifice. A ram is a burnt offering. The difference is, right, everybody needs to do a sin offering. Without the cleansing of the sin, right, there is no salvation. We know this concept. The burnt offering that we are looking at here right now, it was a volunteer act. What we call an ola in a Old Testament in Hebrew. That's O-L-A-H, ola. Okay, but before I go any further, let's read the scripture and then we'll dive deeper into it, right? Verse 15, it says, "You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash it, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and its head. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma and an offering made by fire to the Lord." This is very, very important for us to understand, especially from the perspective of the New Testament. This literally speaks about the consecration. This literally speaks of the sanctification, right? So this ram, if you look at verse 15 and 16, is to be taken, and again the priest lays hand on its head. Again, clearly teaching that this means that the death of the animal is accepted as the equivalent of the death of an individual. And after the animal is slaughtered, its blood is now sprinkled all over the altar. Now, if you remember, and if you don't, you can go back and read it, right? The blood had been put on the tip of the horns and on the base of an altar with the bull. Now, this blood is spread all over the altar. Once again, it is for the atonement, for the priest, and for the purification of the altar. And the whole ram is offered up as a burnt sacrifice. If you remember with the bull sacrifice, only part of the bull was offered as a sacrifice. The sum of it was taken out of the camp. And if you remember, as we ended the Bible study last week, I talked to you about that with the book of Hebrews and how Jesus was hung outside the gates of Jerusalem. So here, the whole ram is sacrificed. And as I mentioned to you before, this is ola. This is the way, the God's mercy. This is how you plead for God's mercy by his people. Okay? Ola, if you want to learn more about ola, is Leviticus chapter 1. Now, what is the difference between, another difference between a burnt offering and a sin offering? The sin offering, everybody had to do. As I said before, burnt offering was a volunteering, right? You were not required to do it. But the second difference is, right, unless you have offered the sin offering, you could not offer a burnt offering. And what that tells is you needed to be in God's camp in order for you to offer burnt offering. So you see how this relates to our born again walk, right? You cannot be sanctified until you have a salvation. You cannot be sanctified until you have a salvation. You can't say, "I am not going to the cross, but yet I wanna try to live my life the way the scripture tells me to live," or empowers us, because what happens is the process of sanctification that we see in the New Testament is not possible in our own strength. It can only happen if we have an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If you have no empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification is literally impossible. And so that's another parallel that I want you to see here as we look at the sin offering and the burnt offering, right? And so now, one of the things that I have spoken to you about is how Peter calls us priests, how we are part of the royal priesthood, right? And then as a priest of the new covenant, Paul picks up on this very image, right? A couple of weeks ago, we had a men's conference, and this was the verse for that conference that I had picked, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And this is the principle that is being applied in that verse by Paul. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. He is drawing on this picture of the consecration ceremony. This is what he is telling us. This is what he was writing, because the people who were there, who are very much familiar with these Jewish ceremonies and rituals, they understood what he was referring to. When the whole burnt offering is lifted up, and he's saying to us that we are to give our whole self, a complete surrender. Right? That's why the verse came, because the title of the conference was Total Surrender. And what this is speaking of is that you are completely, completely dedicated to God. There is nothing that you are holding back. That wasn't the case with the bull offering, but with the ram offering, you are completely, completely surrendering yourself to God. Look at verse 20. It says, then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around the altar. What is this, right? When we look at this, all of these things, what is this going on here? Why are we applying, right? This is almost like a branding of Aaron and his son. This strange ritual, all it is talking about is right ear. Everything is right, if you notice, that you are only going to hear the word of God, that your hand, your legs, you are going to walk according to what God has taught you. You know, that is what is being spoken of, we are seeing here. His hands and his feet will be swift to obey the Lord. So this is, and we can almost relate this to the bond slave ceremony, where they took a earring into their ear. So this literally just talks about our walk in obedience to God. That's what it is drawing our attention to. Now, we're going to skip a few words, okay? Verse 25, I just want to mention something there, and then we'll go to the next point. It said, you shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. And see, this is the same sweet aroma that we talk about when Noah offered up his sacrifice to God all the way back in Genesis chapter 9. All right. And what this speaks to us about is when we worship, when we live a life that is dedicated to God, where we are completely surrendered, then it is a sweet aroma to the Lord. It is a sweet. Are you bringing pleasure to God? Is he happy with the life that you are living? And that's what it speaks of here, right? Verse 26, quickly, then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. So now this breast, right, was going to be the portion that they were going to partake in. And the wave offering literally means, just think about this, this sacrifice is full of blood. Now you are waving that blood that around. What is that going to do? It sprinkles blood all over the place, okay? It is going to be messy, but it also cleanses wherever it falls, right? Now, is here comes a very important lesson in verse 31. And you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Now, this is the second ram that we are talking about, right? The first ram is completely burned up. This is the second ram that we are offering the wave offering with. This is the breast that was taken. Now, some of it belongs to the priest. And, you know, you guys are a student of the scripture. This is going to, you're going to see the connection with our New Testament, what we do. Okay, it says, and you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Then Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall eat those things with which one atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat them because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offering or of the bread remains until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. Okay, now here they are going to partake in the meal. And I hope you are reading the verses in between. You know, when earlier in the chapter he had talked about a basket of bread. So now they are going to take this meat, the ram, the second ram, the a ram of consecration that was offered, okay, and they are going to partake. This is a clear, right? Clearly pointing us to the communion. They were going to have a meal. Now, when you look at the act of eating, right? I love to eat. I'm sure all of you guys love to eat. All of us love to eat. There are certain things about eating. Eating is very personal, right? Each one of us has to eat for ourselves. There is no way for somebody else to eat for you. Okay, nowadays, you know, we have a lot of social media and we post pictures of the food and where we are and all of those things. But doesn't matter how beautiful that food looks in the picture to somebody, they don't really truly get how good that food was unless they were there to eat it. So it is something personal, okay? The second thing I want to say about the eating is it is something that you have to partake in. You have to take the food in for gain the benefit of that that food, right? No matter what age you are, right? Even even if you look at a little baby, that baby has to suck on the breast of the mother in order to gain that the nutrition from the food. It's not like food is there, but it's still the baby has to learn how to do it. You know, sometimes when babies are born and they are not able to suck on the bottle or a nipple, it's an issue. That's something they have to teach, because otherwise they're going to die of hunger or, you know, suffer with hunger. So it is something you actively have to take part in. Nobody can eat for you. Nobody can eat for you. Okay. And the third thing, and perhaps the most important thing I want to say to you is, eating is usually because there is hunger, right? Maybe not in America all the time, but there is some kind of a desire, there is some kind of a hunger that you need to satisfy. That's why you eat, okay? And these three things, these three, four things that I just mentioned to you are very important in our spiritual walk. Is the relationship with that you have with Christ, is it personal? Are you actively taking part in it? Is it because of the hunger for the Word of God? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Because unless you are hungry for the Word of God, you know, my wife says I get very cranky when I'm hungry, you know. Do you have that same kind of reaction when it comes to the Word of God? Does it make you all, out of sort when you haven't spent some time in Scripture with God? Just getting to know him and spending some time in devotion. This is very, very important. And so this directly connects us with the communion. But look at verse 34, right? This food was only for who? They shall, verse 33 says, they shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but an outsider shall not eat them. Okay, that word outsider over there in the original Hebrew language, if you do this study, this meant that anybody who was not a descendant of Aaron, this does not apply to a Levite, okay? You could be a Levite and not be a descendant of Aaron. And if you are not a descendant of Aaron, then you are an outsider. So even Levite could not participate in what we are reading here in these verses. Only Aaron and his son, those who could be high priests, they can participate and eat in this. An outsider cannot. Now, you know, you can make the connection. What happens when you take a communion? An outsider, we are a priest, right? We are, there is a royal priesthood. An outsider cannot eat a communion. And that's why when we get into the book of Corinthians in New Testament, and when Paul talks about, you know, if you take a communion, you are bringing a judgment on yourself. Because if you have not recognized the sacrifice of Jesus, if you have not partaken in the cross, you have not been cleansed by Jesus, then for you to take a communion, which literally says you are doing it in the remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross, you are acknowledging that Jesus did what he did, yet you are not willing to surrender your life to him. And you are literally mocking him by taking that communion. And that's how you bring judgment to yourself. Here, specifically, it's forbidden. It says, outsider shall not eat them because they are holy. Yes, am I saying that you need to be born again to participate in the communion? Exactly what I am saying. It is meaningless. Communion is not something, is not a ritual by which you get holy. You are holy because that's why you take the communion. Communion has no magical powers whatsoever unless you recognize why you are doing it. Why you are doing it. Okay, this is very, very important stuff here, and I'm going to see, I'm going to show you in a little bit when we read further up how this is connected to the Passover, and of course, Passover connected to Jesus and the cross and the communion, right? Verse 34, and if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings or of the bread remains until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. That's why it is called the Holy Communion. It's there is a reason for this, right? This ram is cooked. It's prepared. For who? Only for Aaron and his son. Holy meal. That's what we are looking at. Now, again, I want to remind you, okay? And just think about what we have talked about so far, right? We have been consecrated by the washing of the water through baptism into this kingdom. Of priests, of which we are part of. And God has granted us the privilege, right, entering into a sharing of a covenant meal with him. Think about that, which we call the Lord's Supper. And as a priest of the new covenant, we have this privilege of eating this meal, this communion, regularly, whenever we want. You see the imagery of this command of Christ to the disciple that, you know, when we sit in that upper room and what Christ has done, how he is pointing us back to Exodus chapter 29. And what an amazing, amazing privilege we have of having a communion. Not just once in a while, not just on a first Sunday, whenever we want to partake in it. This is a wonderful, wonderful blessing that we have in Christ. Verse 35 says, then you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them, and you shall offer bull every day as a sin offering for an atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. There is one word that you keep seeing, sanctify, holy, right? This was not a ceremony that was one time and then it was done. This was to be done for 7 days. Now think about how messy things got. For 7 days, all this blood being shed, all this blood being sprinkled all over the place. You know, do you think that made them realize the cost of a sin? The other thing is, this keeps, you know, sometimes people love to get into the ministry. You know, they say, oh man, this looks like fun thing. You know, it's Sunday, I just get to be a pastor on Sunday. I'm off Monday to Saturday. Once in a while I have to go visit somebody or pray with somebody or whatever the case might be. This sounds like a cushy job. You know, ministry sounds like an easy job. People respect you. People give you money. All of those things. But think about this. 7 days you had to keep doing this. Do you think by the fifth or the sixth day, it kind of got annoying? All of these things that are taking place here. You know, it kind of showed them the price and the commitment that needed to be in this office that is being spoken of here, to be sanctified, to be holy. Verse 38, now this is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb shall be one-tenth of an ephah of the flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil and one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for sweet aroma. Again, this sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be continually burnt offering throughout your generation at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. Now this is what's supposed to happen throughout the generation until Christ came again. And you know, there is a little illustration where a boy asked the rabbi, what is the purpose of all this blood? What is the blood supposed to mean in all of these things? And so Rabbi answered, that is, we need blood for the forgiveness of the sins. So the young man asked Rabbi again. He said, so what about our sins? And Rabbi had no answer, because since 70 AD, since the temple has been burned up, what we just read about offering up the lamb and so forth has not taken place. And so this kid had a wonderful question, which the rabbis and the Jewish people have no answer. How are our sins being forgiven? Because as Hebrew says, without the shedding of the blood, right, redemption is not possible. But what was the purpose, you know, and my time is up. What is the purpose of all of this that we are talking about? All these rituals that I am explaining to you about the cleansing and the sacrifice and consecration and anointing, right? Look at the end of, look at verse 42, right? It says, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak with you. I have spoken to you for the last few Bible studies about the importance of us ministering to God, right? But here, the purpose comes, right, that so God can meet with us. That's the purpose. Look at verse 43. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And pay attention to the word I. How many times I say that as I read the new next few verses, right? It says, so I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Did you guys notice how many times I will do this? Right? All of these things, yes, it was about sanctifying. Yes, it was about consecration. Yes, it was about anointing and all of those things, right? But what does it say over here? I will also consecrate both Aaron and his son to minister to me as priest. Who is doing the consecration? It's God who does the consecration. It's the God who sanctifies. There's no ritual. There's nothing that we can do that is going to consecrate us, sanctify us. It is the work of God. It is the leading of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament time that does the consecration and the sanctification. And what's the, again, I remind you, verse 45, it says, I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. And if you know your scripture, and when you read that word in the Old Testament, other places, it comes with another sentence, and they will be my people. Here, it doesn't say that. All it says is, will be there, that I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord, their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. The whole purpose of God bringing them out of Egypt is so they would know who they were serving. Who is God? Who is Yahweh? And that's why here, he connects coming out of Egypt, which directly connects to the Passover, as I mentioned, to this whole ceremony that we are talking about. The purpose of all of these things is, purpose of your worship, purpose of you going to church, purpose of you having a communion, purpose of you spending time here in the Bible study, in your own devotion time, is not so you can come out looking good, right? It's not about, look how holy I am, and all those things that we value so much. It is so we would know our God. This is about that God would meet us. You know, and I'm going to ask you guys to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. I want to show you this, what we studied here in chapter 29 in action, what actually happened. Okay, this is instruction. When we go to Leviticus chapter 9, this is actually when this ceremony takes place. Okay, and look what happens over there. And we will close with this. And it says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting. Just if I was quick, Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23, 24. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed and burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. What we are seeing over here is when we do what we are asked to do, when we are sanctified, when we are consecrated, then the fire of God ignites in us. Here, God came, burned the whole offering, consumed the whole offering. Think about that picture that is being painted over there. And so as we close this Bible study, how are you doing with your sanctification? As Paul tells us in chapter Romans chapter 12, are you presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice to God? Are you completely surrendered to God as we need to be? And if we are, then we are going to see the blessing of God. Father, we come to you, Lord, and we thank you and praise you for this wonderful words that you have given us, Lord. And as we look at this Old Testament ritual, Lord, sometimes we have a tendency to just pass over it, Lord, and just something that the Jewish people did, and something that we just say that we don't understand, Lord. But as we dig deeper into this scripture, Lord, we see your blessing, Lord, and how you have asked us, Lord, the same things that you required of Aaron and his sons, Lord, that we may be consecrated, that we may be a holy, that we may be sanctified and completely surrender to you, Lord. And so today, Lord, I pray for each and every person here, Lord, whatever that we need to submit to you, Lord, give us that courage, give us the strength to do that, Lord. And then use us, Lord, use us as a living sacrifice to further your kingdom. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.